This program is paid for by Ian Prescott, LLC, and we are solely responsible for the contents of this show.
Ladies and gentlemen of Prescott, it's time for a change. We, the people of this vibrant community, demand honest, upfront communication. No more beating around the bush or serving up half-baked solutions. We're here to shake things up, challenge the norms, and deliver unfiltered information with a healthy dose of irreverence and boundless curiosity. Our mission? To be your voice, to bring you all sides of the story, and yes, to inject a bit of humor into the mix. We're passionate about the quality of life in Prescott, and we know you are too. Join us as we embark on a journey to keep it real, keep it informative, and most importantly, keep it engaging. Welcome to our platform, where transparency meets a touch of wit. And now your hosts, Tony Hamer and Chad DeVries.
Well, here we are. We're into a special show this week. We've got some restaurant people here. So all you foodies out there, I hope your ears are pricking up at this point, because we got two great restaurants here in town, relatively new, and I know you'll like them. And both of them are really focused about coffee.
Yeah, and I love coffee, but I got to tell you, their menus and what they offer are amazing.
You know, the first one we're going to talk about is The Porch, which is on North Montezuma, right opposite City Hall. So we're making a transition from City Hall and the circus there into these couple of businesses. So we had in Jesse Villegas and his wife, Rudy, and they were talking with us about The Porch and how they bought an existing business, an existing coffee shop business, and they're now taking that and turning it into a community asset in terms of bringing people in and the amount of conversation that is done in there with leaders in the city as well as all elements of the population. I think you're going to enjoy that conversation. What do you think, Chad?
No, it was a great conversation. And then we also had Chris and Amanda in from Bear and Dragon. And you want to listen to where they got their names, because it puzzled both of us for a while. But we have that coming up here.
Yeah, the Bear and Dragon story is very nice. And Amanda and Chris, who own the Bear and Dragon, are just really neat people. Amanda is on a boomerang visit here, as she'll explain.
Yeah, that was great.
She's coming back into town after spending some time away and learning a lot about the food business while she was away. But anyway, let's get away from my words and let's get into what Jesse and Rudy would like to tell us at this point. It's great to have you guys in the studio with us today. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
Okay. Well, these guys have a very thriving business at The Porch. You got solid backgrounds, don't you?
Yeah.
Arizona, yeah. Nebraska, you know, all those good values which come with those locations as well.
Yeah.
But let's go on to The Porch.
Absolutely.
How did you make a decision that you wanted to get into food and beverage and a restaurant, a coffee house like The Porch, which for all my listeners here, you know, is a tremendous place, really is.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, so every entrepreneur's journey is different. And for mine, I actually wasn't really seeking to do coffee. And at the time, I wasn't even seeking to come to Prescott. So I'm just going to tell like a really quick story, because I share this pretty often when people ask, like, how did The Porch start?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if I could pinpoint how The Porch started, it is because when I was up here years ago, I believe it was 2015 for the first time, I was leading a summer camp, a local summer camp here in Prescott.
Right.
So I was the director of a youth camp. And I got up early one morning and I went to go play pickup basketball at our downtown YMCA here.
Right.
And And there I met a gentleman named Landon, and he was from here. Him and his family were from here, and we became really good friends, and we had this weird bromance on the basketball court, and we felt like that needed to turn into like a little coffee shop date, and he took me to the porch, and that was my first introduction to the porch. So,
was it called the porch at the time? Or
yeah, it was called the porch at the time.
It used to be a furniture store there, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes. I've been collecting information, you know, through the time I've been here. It was a furniture store, sorry. And originally the building was a industrial wash house for a lot of the businesses here Whiskey Row.
Right.
Yeah, so I think the original name was American
Warehouse Linen Supply.
Yeah. So
it's a huge space. How big is the porch?
Yeah. Square footage wise, you know, so it is partitioned into multiple like usages.
Right.
So the porch, I would say, just depending on what the day looks like, because we do have to switch it up throughout the week depending what's going on. But we're looking at 1,500 square feet.
Yep.
You know, so a lot
big
of
space.
Yeah, big space, a lot of groups meet there.
Yeah.
But to answer your original question, like how that came about,
yes.
I have kind of set this like track in my head where, you know, as I've been doing this business, I realize that my story is I didn't cast this vision of the porch. I caught it. So versus someone who starts a business from the ground up, you know, ground zero on the way up, they have a lot of creative say and a creative input and have a lot of control.
Right.
That's the beautiful thing about starting something from the ground. When you catch a vision, it's a little different, you know. There's pros and cons, right? Something is established and it has life and character, and it's going.
And it had a cash flow as well.
Yeah,
right?
It had a cash flow. It had an audience. It had a heartbeat. So those things are wonderful. I think the other side is like, you know, my wife and I, we are creative people. We're intentional people. So there's a few things that, you know, if we would have started it from the ground up, we probably would have done different.
So, you know, here you've got the porch. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to take it now? You know, it's a... How would you describe it? And mm-hmm. then how would you describe what it will be in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way I would describe it right now is that we are a coffee shop that is eager to find creative ways to serve our community outside of coffee. We have an expansive space where we can do that. We can host your council meetings. We can host group studies. We can host baby showers. We can host receptions. We haven't really tapped into that market to our potential. We are just starting to. And
so you're talking more about events at that point.
Correct. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that how you think mm-hmm. about it?
Or? Yeah. You know, I think Rudy and I are trying to hold a balance scale with that. You know, we don't want to lose the intention and uniqueness that of what a coffee shop offers. But since we do have space, you know, how can we utilize that space for whatever the community wants to use, if it's appropriate for them?
So who are your customers? You know, as you look mm-hmm. around, as you see people every day, who are your customers? How would you describe the segments which you serve?
Yeah, I love this question because it is something that we have been really intentional in gathering the information. I really enjoy just coffee houses in general, but the porch in particularly, in where we're at in the town, being in kind of the downtown corridor, being in a heavy, I would say just populated, heavy traffic area.
Right.
We get a good sense of the pulse of Prescott. And what I mean by that, and to answer your question, is it's a little bit of everybody. And I think that's what a coffee shop should be. You should be able to serve all of its leaders, all of its industries. So right. We do have our civic leaders. We do have our first responders. We have our educators. We have our young professionals. We have our students. And we can call them all by name, you know, and that's the beautiful thing. Like, not obviously everybody, but we do have those representations there.
But this has been great, guys. Really appreciate you coming in. I think you have a very, very in-tune business as well. And really wish you all the best with that. And everybody in the audience should know the porch.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And the number on Montezuma is?
226.
226, Montezuma.
North Montezuma.
North. That's an important detail right there.
Yeah.
Or you'll end up over there.
Well, that's true. So please go and visit the porch and see Jesse and Rudy and have a great coffee and a great conversation. Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
Tony.
Now let's hear from Chris and Amanda with the Bear and Dragon.
Thanks for coming in today. We're on Eye on Prescott, and our podcast goes out regularly each week on a Saturday, and we're also on KQNA radio here in town. So your words are going to be heard by a bunch of people, so be careful.
We have a pretty good following already, so it's really great to hear that we have people listening to us.
Yeah, wonderful. We do. So how long have you guys been in town? We know you've got a new restaurant in town, the Bear and Dragon. So, and then you committed a cardinal sin of getting into the restaurant business. What persuaded you to do that?
That was the last thing I wanted to do.
That was my fault. That was my fault, yeah. No, it was something Chris has been doing intelligence work for about 15 years. And a lot of it was from
home. I've never reached into intelligence work. You know, that would be off, off course for me.
That's why you're on the radio now.
So we wanted to do something we could do together. And I had been working in hospitality for a long time, more than 20 years, and from everything. From the ground up. In fact, my first job was here at the Pinecone Inn back in the day, bussing tables. Yeah, so when I was in high school. I've opened other restaurants that aren't mine, but this is our first restaurant. And we did the food truck first because we knew we needed to, you know, get a following going, and then our kids are pretty young still. And then Bridget got to school. I was going to wait till Drake went to school, but we were like, let's do it now. And it's like taking a kite outside and letting it go in the wind. Things just kind of tumbled forward, and here we are.
So, sounds great. Yeah. Really does. So you've got a new business. You've got two young kids. You've got a pretty full life, I would say. You know?
Yeah, we do.
We're glutton for punishment.
Yeah, glutton for punishment. Mm-hmm. I've been there. How'd you come up with the name?
You want to answer that?
It's actually... Well, I tell everybody that I'm the bear, she's the dragon, because she likes to breathe fire and spit at me. But
oh, boy.
There we go.
No, it's actually
we do a side business on marriage counseling.
Well, stick a couple in a food trailer for a while, and that's pretty much your counseling right there during the day, right?
No.
No, it's our kids' nicknames, Bridget Bear and Drake the Dragon.
Oh, that's cool.
Very
nice. And it gave us the literary theme we were going for, because as you know, there's a literary theme in there. And we like to make people guess, because, you know, apparently there's a book by Tom Clancy called Bear and Dragon, so they often think that there's other reasons for it. But it's just our kids' nicknames. And it gives us the British edge we're looking for. As you know, as a Brit, people know that name means that we've got something for the Brits in there, so, you know.
About time, right, Tony?
Certainly do. You know? I hesitate to say this, but, you know, we displaced Brits are making a move to retake over this country, you know?
Is that what's happening?
Are you guys going to go in single formation again? That wasn't good.
Well, we let you guys win the last time just so you'd feel good about yourselves. Sorry, we're getting away from the restaurant here.
All right, go back to your stories.
So what's going well in terms of the restaurant right now? What's your format? Who are your clients? Tell us a little bit about this. How long have you been open?
So the original plan was to open for breakfast and lunch, and we would just do, keep the same format as the trailer, add breakfast and have coffee. And we kind of thought it would be sort of maybe a Starbucks feel, people coming in and getting coffee to go or hanging out, sitting at their laptops, and be kind of slow. And then we were kind of talked into doing dinner as well. So, okay, that's great. You know, that'll probably be the busier time. And I don't think we've stopped being busy since we've opened for breakfast and lunch.
The minute we opened, yeah.
The first day was scary because we had
And the first day was when?
October 31st.
All right. So very new in town, getting used to being in a restaurant business, and lots of flow through the restaurant as well of new patrons for you.
Yeah, busier than what we expected.
Yeah, I heard the other day, Malcolm called for a reservation. I think that was a couple days ago. It was like February 9th. So you obviously are doing something great over there because people want to go to dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Yes, they do. Yeah, it's been from the minute we opened it, we didn't anticipate that. We were slammed the first day, and I knew that we were marketing and. We were showing people some of the dishes online for a few months while we were getting going. We were showing them, especially dinner and breakfast, and we were giving people a taste on social media of what we were going to do. And just the doors, the minute we opened, we were slammed, and then it hasn't stopped, like Chris said. Although mornings are a bit quieter now. There's not so much of a wait in the mornings, I think, because it's cold, which is nice.
Yeah, the weather.
Lunch is always busy, but, it's been great.
Although great. Some of the rain has drawn people in more to get soup and coffee. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those winter dishes that keep people warm from the outside.
Well, I think it's such a great intimate setting, too. I think people like that. You know, you go into some of these big restaurants, it's just not the same feel. You know, so when you go into your establishment, it feels really cozy. And
it does,
you know,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's okay.
We wanted that European feel, that sort of like you're sitting next to people. It's more of an experience being there. So I believe if you're going to go out to eat, you're going for an experience, not just the food.
And you feel safer there, too, right, being a Brit?
Oh, I do. You know, we don't have to have guns or anything like that. We're strong enough. But it's great, guys. Well, welcome to town. And certainly I've always believed, been here 18 years now, that we need better restaurants in town. So we're always pleased to see people come in with a different format and a high quality. And so that's great. So how did you get to Prescott? You came back. Why Prescott and why the restaurant at the same time?
So I drug Amanda out to Louisiana when we got married, and then we had to do some work in at Camp Pendleton in California. And as the kids were getting older and after COVID, and that kind of freed me up to kind of move more places, wherever, work from home, automatically decided this is where we want to be. And this is probably the only place I've really moved to as well that when we got here, we didn't know that would take shape of the restaurant, but really wanted to get involved in the community and be part of everything that's going on. And I think the restaurant was probably a conduit for that and a good start.
Well, and I think it's a great place to raise kids. I mean, what I tell everybody, it's the last of Mayberry. You know, people are really friendly here. People help each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we look out I'm fortunate enough to have this beautiful office downtown, and I see kids playing soccer in the square and being kids. They're not just on their phones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just still have that hometown America feel here. And that's why I'm here, too, because I was raised that way, and I miss that. So
I was raised in a town a lot smaller than this outside
of
New Orleans.
Yeah, me too.
And
this
is, one of the last of the Mayberries. It's very special. I think I feel a sense of protection over it. Amanda kind of laughs because she's from here and I'm not, but I'm very protective of it.
Every time we're in the car, he's going on about some new house on the hill and all, all the things. But it is special that way, and it always has been.
We don't want a house on every hill.
No,
I don't think so. Anyway.
Takes the charm away.
It's funny when I talk to my kids about Mayberry, they're like, "What is that?" I mean, that's going away too.
Yeah.
You don't know what Mayberry
I've been meaning to ask you that as well.
Did they have Mayberry in England?
Not exactly.
You told me they didn't even have rednecks there, so I don't know what you guys got.
Well,
we
don't have enough sun to have rednecks in England. Come on. So when you came in, you had this idea of beautiful Prescott and putting a restaurant in as well. How much help did you get from the city and people in the local area in terms of getting to the concept you have?
You know what? The city of Prescott, I am particularly proud of our health department here. They're helpful. They take a helpful approach. I've worked with, like I said, restaurants for a long time, and other places they're not always so helpful. You know, having that feeling of them coming in and just knowing that they're there to be helpful. So when we did the food truck, they helped us with the plans and made sure that everything was good to go before we got it open. And so that's the one thing. But the city of Prescott, honestly, they've been very helpful with us.
Good.
It's been great. And I don't know if that's everyone's experience, but when it came to getting open and whatnot, they were really on our side, it felt like.
Did you have the food truck that was...
It was over on the gravel lot next to the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Yeah. And what was that called?
Bear and Dragon.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So we already had a following.
That's what I thought. I didn't realize you had a food truck until our conversation today, but now I remember.
Right.
All the salads and the sandwiches and the avocado toast I had on the food truck with the coffee, all the coffee menu. So.
You guys still doing the food truck, or is that kind of, that was a lot of work.
No time for that. Yeah. It was good, but yeah. We're
so you don't want a second location quite yet, huh?
Well... Working on a brew pub right next door, as you know.
Right.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think the food truck, I mean, like the new food truck court or whatever, the lot down here, I think it's a little more challenging because, you know, everybody's got gigs everywhere, it seems like. I don't know. It seems like that's a very, very tough business. And then having a kitchen to be able to do all your...
It's tough to be able to keep people consistently there. And
consistent,
even on the lot
that
we were at, they were initially going to make that sort of a small food truck. Truck park, and he decided not to because of the inconsistency. And we had actually talked him into letting us be there and promise him we would be there every day.
So. You know, that's great. Really is. So stepping into the present business was the food truck. Got you into the game, got you into a clientele, it got you into feeling what the food system was like and the food game was like here in town. Is that a correct impression?
I think so. I think it got us to, it was a perfect introduction into what people want and what people like. We got to meet a lot of people from that experience, and then I think that helped when we opened up the restaurant. We probably didn't realize how many people we had really been in contact with or that were rooting for us to open up a brick and mortar, and I think that really paid off. That was a good, really good start for us. Had we done a cold start, I don't know if it would have been the same reception in the
Now, the building you're in right now is on South Montezuma, and its address is...
334 South Montezuma.
Plug for you right there.
And you can call way ahead for reservations, especially in the evening. So,
well, that's true, isn't it?
Which is a good thing. It's good to have that, you know, and I like restaurants like that. It's like El Gato Azul, the same thing, you know, these more intimate small restaurants with great food and atmosphere. That's what people are looking for.
So what's gone right and what's gone wrong in terms of starting the business up?
You know what? It's been, you could call it lucky or blessed, whichever you prefer, but I call it blessed. We got blessed with wonderful staff.
That's something we often hear is very, very difficult to get good staff and then retain good staff as well, but...
Well, I think, you know, my motto with that, and I believe strongly in creating an environment that they like to be in and having everyone be super approachable. So, you know, I would not hire the most talented person in the world if they were just a parasite on site, you know. So we definitely have a place where we want people to feel happy to be there, happy to be at work, a place where they feel at home, and then... That just shines at the table, too. So it's not only fun for them to work there, but it also shows up at the table with their customer service. And so far, so good. So I think that's a big part of it. We want to be approachable. So whenever we approach a problem, you know, you do it with love and care, you know. And I do that. I do approach problems. But, yeah, love and care. And then, I was in the kitchen for a little bit in the beginning, which was unexpected. We sort of had a
conflict. Because we'll you couldn't a, find a chef? Or?
No, we had a chef. We had a chef.
Or you just wanted to show everybody how great
yeah.
you were.
Yeah. No, we had a chef that we parted ways with early on, and he's super talented, but it wasn't really what he wanted to do for long term, I guess. And so he was more of a consulting chef is the way we should look at it. So he was on in the beginning. And so then when he left, I had to sort of step in the kitchen for a little while, which was great, right. which is what an owner should do, really. Yeah. And I was in there for about a month. And so that was a hiccup. But as far as restaurants going for the first 3 months, it went smoother than most openings, I would say.
There's some distinct learnings here in terms of the passion that these people have for the coffee and food and beverage game overall. And they're thinking forward into the future with the expansion of the porch. There's also an expansion in the Bear and Dragon as well in the plans at this point in time.
Yeah, I think it was like a brew pub or something pretty exciting that's coming. So
yeah, I thought you'd perk up at the brew piece of that, you know.
Hey, I perked up at the Bangers and Mash over there, you know.
They've got a very nice menu, and Bangers and Mash is something that everybody should get into. And they also have a very good breakfast and lunch menu as well. And I think that's where their strength is.
Well, and I think we need to all support local businesses. You know, these are people in our community that are reaching out to the community, and we need to support them in our community.
I like that, Chad. Really do. Here we are with Ion Prescott this morning, and we have the youngest entrepreneur in the candy business in Prescott with us. She has a vintage candy store in Bashford Court, right on Courthouse Square. And her name is Rio.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure entirely. Rio, you're the youngest entrepreneur in the building here, and probably in all of the town. Tell us, how did you get into this business?
Well, you see, I needed a job, A, and then B, I felt like it was a fun way to keep, you know, young audiences around and have people walk down memory lane and reminisce on all the good candy that brought them back, you know?
So you're encouraging people to eat sugar, right?
Yes.
Especially vintage candies.
Exactly.
What vintage candies do you have in the store?
Oh, I got everything. I think the oldest one for sure has got to be Necco wafers. And then I also have a very classic one, the candy cigarettes and the bubblegum cigarettes.
Oh, I love those yeah. candy cigarettes. Do you eat candy yourself?
I do.
So you eat all the profits, do you?
I try not to, but I mean, it's hard to resist at times.
Now, you took over a business. It
I
was
did.
An existing business?
It was, yes.
And how much have you changed it?
Almost entirely.
Yeah?
Yeah. So inside out, honestly.
Really?
And we've added a whole bunch of things. I got a retro Coke machine, made a deal with Coke, so that was one of the biggest things so far.
That's a nice machine,
yeah.
And you've got the big old Coke bottles in
I
there
do, yes.
that I remember from 50 years ago.
And then, yeah, I have Fanta, I have Sprite, everything's in, and Dr. Pepper, all in glass bottles, so it keeps it retro.
That's fantastic, yeah. Really is. So where are you going to take the store from here?
Well, hopefully someday in the future I can possibly expand it and maybe open another location. Or I'll just keep it same old classic little spot that everyone knows.
There local. You go. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, all the best with the business.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, stay tuned for our next show next Saturday, 12:30 KQNA. And we're going to be looking at the services that the city provides to all of its citizens, their efficacy, and what's needed in the future.
You've been listening to Eye on Prescott. We adore living here, and we want to be your voice to ask the tough questions, hold officials accountable, and you'll never hear us running from a debate. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon on Eye on Prescott.
Email us at info@ionprescott.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you are interested in advertising or sponsoring our show, please contact us. This program is paid for by Ion Prescott, LLC, and we are solely responsible for the contents of this show.